Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here. Another episode of the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, what is going on, man?
Oh, man, what's happening? It has been a crazy week.
It has. It has. Lots been going on, and we'll get into that. Let's talk about 4th of July.
Yeah, last Saturday. It was definitely a good time. Good time.
It was. We journeyed out of the Meat Hook Gym Studios up to the Donnie Hoover Studios. And we had a good time at the 4th of July. We did some swimming, ate some pizza, ate some hot dogs, watched the fireworks. It was a good time.
Trees in 3D.
Yeah. It did kind of look like 3D.
That is big, gigantic tree just right in front of us blocking our view, but you could still see everything.
But, you know, it was funny because that one guy that was like over to the right was like competing with the city. And, you know, we could see his.
Yeah, he was hanging in there pretty good for just doing them out of his backyard.
Yeah, all around the neighborhood, all kinds of fireworks. They spent all the money. We didn't spend a dime, and we still enjoyed it.
Yeah, we touched into the moonshine a little bit, and the kids had s'mores, and everybody had a good time. It was fun all around.
It was, and I know, I know Haley – really wore out Shelby.
Oh yeah, she does that to us every day, so that's why Shelby was like, I'll take her. I'm like, thank God, go ahead.
Yeah. On the way home, Shelby was regretting that. She's like, man, she wore me out.
Oh yeah, that's why we call her the Hurricane.
Exactly. It was a good time with good friends. You know, we still had to social distance a little bit.
Oh yeah, you always gotta do that.
But speaking of social distancing, part of the reason we had to do that is because Terry had surgery coming up on this past Monday.
Yeah, that was the only downside to last Saturday. She couldn't really like participate and hang out with us all that much, and you know, she had to like keep a face mask on, and she had to stay away from all of us, and you know, and stuff like that, because she had her spinal surgery on Monday. That, you know, coming up that Monday. So I mean, other than that, you know, I mean, she talked to us from a distance, and but she couldn't like get out there and get in the pool with us, and she didn't get to sit around the fire with us and all that kind of stuff. She kind of just sat away and faced the fireworks. She's like basically sitting in the middle of the yard by herself.
Well, you know, she's a trooper, and I know the surgery went well from what you told me.
It went a lot longer than we were expecting. They kind of gave us the gimmick on that. And so they told us to be there at 9:45 a.m. and her surgery was scheduled for 11:45 a.m. And it was spinal surgery. They had to put the screws in and fuse the L4, L5 and, you know, get all that cleaned up in there and get everything set in place. And apparently the surgery before her ran long. So we didn't even really they didn't even send her back until like 1:30. So it was like already a 2-hour delay. So then I go to the waiting room, and I was getting text notifications. They were keeping me updated via text and stuff. And then around 3:00, I get another text, and it says the surgery procedure is beginning. And I was like, what? I was like, she's already been back here an hour and a half. What the hell, you know? So it was supposed to be scheduled for a 4 to 5 hour surgery. So then it was 3:00. So finally, closer to 8:00, 7:30, 8:00, I finally get the doctor came out around 7:00. It was almost like 4 hours to the T, and the surgery went well. They got everything, you know, fused back together. Everything was, there was nothing permanent damage. They didn't nip the spinal cord or anything like that. So no fluid leakage. And so then she was in recovery, and that they said that would be about an hour. So it was like 8:30. I finally got the text, you know, that that I could go up to her room. So, you know, long story short, a 4 to 5 hour process, ended up, I was basically there like 13 and a half hours. So, yeah, and by myself, because, you know, with all the restrictions for COVID, right, you're only allowed one person. And I was, you know, so I'm her husband. I was the only one that was allowed to be at the hospital with her. So I basically just, you know, sat around by myself for 13 hours, which was, it was kind of boring, you know, but I mean, it was all good. I had stuff to keep me company, you know, videos and all that, whatnot.
But, yeah, I'm glad to hear everything went well. You know, stepping back into the 4th of July, the hurricane with all of her presence for, see, that's the other thing about the 4th of July. I don't think we, I'm not sure we did mention it on the last show. Yeah. Three birthday parties going on too.
Yep. It was, hurricanes was July 8th. Mine was July 10th. And my mother-in-law's was July 14th, but being the surgery was July 6th. We just did everybody's that Saturday together. And of course, you know, as expected, the hurricane was the center of attention and she got all the gifts and, you know, we got pizza. That was basically what we got.
And moonshine.
And moonshine. Yeah. A little bit of moonshine here and there.
But I saw that, that haul she got for her birthday. It's like, wow, this is like Christmas for me when I was a kid.
Right. Yeah. Well, she got more after that. We had on the day of Terry's surgery, we had like three or four more gifts come in from Amazon that was running late. And then yesterday she got another one. And then her granddad's gift came in. He's from Oklahoma. And that came in UPS. And it was like $100 worth of like these LOL dolls, little glitter plastic animals or whatever. It was like a whole big line, looked like a big guitar case just full of little animals. And I was like, good Lord, man. Like, if this kid ain't spoiled, I don't know what is, you know.
You know what tickled me is when she, the one she gave to, what was his name? It was the butt face.
Oh yeah, Jay, my grandson.
Yeah,
Butthead.
Yeah,
that was her joke gift. She took it back though. She still has it. The next day, Sunday, she walked around all day like pulling a finger down and listening to a fart, and she kept putting it in people's faces and being annoying as a, you know, 7-year-old kid is. So, but it was funny though. We just, you know, laugh about it and stuff.
But being that this is Wrestle Horror, mm-hmm, can't forget to mention the last of the big gifts while we were there.
Yeah, that's a good one. The main event.
Yeah. She tickled me because she looked at it. She goes, and she had this look on her face like, I know what this is. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid to open it, but eventually, and for those of you that Donnie told me this story, Donnie, I want, mm-hmm, you to tell this story because it's just funny.
Okay. Yeah. We have a Chucky doll, a life-size Child's Play doll. And the reason we have it is because my mother, when she was alive, that was her favorite. She was like a sci-fi channel, like all the cheesy, like paranormal or like piranha movie, shark movie, snake movie, like all that cheesy sci-fi stuff was her thing. And she also loved Child's Play. Chucky was like her favorite thing ever. So we went out for Christmas a couple years ago and bought her a life-size Chucky doll. Well, she recently passed, you know, years ago or so. And that was one of the things I brought back home was, you know, cause my sister didn't want it. She didn't like Chucky. So she's like, here, that's your doll. You bought it. You take him home. So we have a life-size Chucky doll in our closet in our bedroom because Terry doesn't like him either. So I'm allowed to, I have to keep him in the closet. So a couple Christmases ago, as you know, Joe Gill, last Christmas before, you know, after my mom passed, we took Chucky and put him in a box, wrapped him up in Christmas paper you know, gave it to Haley because Haley watches Chucky, but she's afraid of, she can watch it on TV and she'll get a little bit scared, but she doesn't like the doll. If he's in the closet up on the shelf, she's fine. But once I bring him down, she freaks out. So we had it wrapped up in a box as a joke gift, and she tore that box open and pulled the lids open and the feet come flopping out at her. And then she saw it was Chucky and she like had a meltdown. And, you know, it was funny, but on the back of my mind, I was like, dag, you know, I didn't mean to scare her that bad. I mean, she was bawling and crying. So I kind of felt bad, but you know, a year or two later, of course, you know, we come up with the brainstorm idea of doing it again for her birthday. So we just bought like a little gift bag and wrapped him up in it. And we kind of made it like it was obvious because we had the neck, we had like tape around the neck where you could see it was like a head. So that we gave it to her again as a joke gift, and that was her last gift of the day Saturday for her birthday presents. And yeah, you know, like you said, she got the top open a little bit where she saw the hair, and that was all she needed to see. And she freaked out again, and then she told my grandson to open it up. So he went and he was like, "I'll do it," and he tore it open, and he realized it was Chucky, and he freaked out. So neither one, he never did get fully unwrapped by either one of them. They both took off.
You know, and you're traumatizing her, and she's what, seven now?
Seven, yeah. Yeah, but she's fine with it now. She's like, if she sees it now, he's back up in the closet in a spot, and she's seen him up there a couple times, and don't even faze her. She's just like, "Is he still up there on the shelf?" I'm like, "Yep, he's still up there." And she's like, "Okay." And like, no big deal.
Well, that's because it's up on the shelf and not where he can get her.
Right. So, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, she's like I said, she's into that kind of stuff, but she still gets scared by it. So she's going to be a great she's either going to be a great haunt actor or she's going to be a great customer. One of the two. We're raising her right.
Well, speaking of haunt actors and such, that's a good segue into our next topic, the status of haunting.
Yeah, like I said, you know more about that stuff than I do. I seen something about Big Scary Show just posted something about, they just had their episode about it. And I don't remember the haunt again. I got to start writing these down when I see them. But there was another one just the day before yesterday I saw that announced that they closed down. And I thought it was on, it was like Fear Factor Facebook page or one of the Facebook pages, mm-hmm. like that record and keep track of the haunts that are open and closed. And it was on there. And yeah, man, it just like we talked about before, it just seems like week after week, you know, one by one, they keep falling and shutting down, and it's just getting crazy.
Well, it's unfortunate. I mean, everybody wants to get out there and scare people, but the global situation isn't conducive, especially with this second wave that has hit, and all these new cases. Florida set a record, 15,000 new cases in a day.
All right.
I mean, and you know, Florida, Texas, California is flaring up again. There's parts of Ohio that are under mandatory masks if you go to a public place.
Yeah, we are here in Franklin County in Columbus, Ohio. We have to wear a mask wherever we go now.
We are down in Cincinnati, Hamilton, and Butler County. We have to do it too. People are fighting, and you know, I don't want to get into a debate about whether or not masks should or shouldn't be worn.
Right, whether they help or not.
Right, but it can't hurt to wear a mask.
Yeah, just better safe than sorry, I guess. Right. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of them, and I have my, like I said, I have my thoughts about it too on whether they're, how effective they are or not. But I still wear one, you know. But I don't get mad. Like if I see somebody going in a store not wearing one, I don't, you know, "Hey, you know, you asshole, put your mask on." You know, I just figured that, you know, live your life, I'll live my life. As long as I got mine on, you know, I'm doing my part, and you know. Because not only will it protect me from spraying, you know, germs on people, it'll also protect me from other people spraying germs on me, the way I look at it. So.
Absolutely. I mean, I went into a convenience store today when I filled up my car, and so I heard some guy sitting in his car yelling at me because I was wearing a mask. That's my choice. I don't want to catch this crap.
Right, yeah.
You know, and if I want to cover my face, it's for my protection, my family's protection, and ultimately for other people's protection.
Yeah. And we still do it for Terry's purpose, because that was one of the things when we were getting checked out and they were releasing her from the hospital. They were saying that you still need to protect yourself from COVID and stuff for a while, because if you catch it, you know, your body's not going to heal from the spinal surgery as fast, because it's going to be busy fighting the respiratory infection. And so, I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, we still, like, every time we go out, whether we have to or not, we'll still put a mask on, you know, just to try to protect her until she gets healed up, you know?
Right. You know, if you're listening, you're watching, you choose to not wear a mask, that's your choice. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to condemn you for it. It's not my choice.
Right. Yep. But great thing about being an American, you can make a choice.
Exactly. I would like to see this stuff go away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if we all work together, we can get it to go away instead of fighting and politicizing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's affecting a lot of haunted houses across the country. I mean, I know my memory fails me right now, but I know several that really that they're bigger haunts that have chosen not to open this year because of this. And it's a safety issue.
Yeah.
The more that people understand this pandemic and adhere to the rules, the sooner we can get back to the new normal.
Yeah. And in your opinion, say like, you know, stuff keeps going downhill and they cancel, you know, gatherings like that. And so basically haunted houses are shut down this year by law, technically. Do you think there's going to be that rogue haunt here and there that opens up anyway and, you know, like basically runs until they're forced to shut down, you know?
Funny that you should mention that. I actually have a roundtable on my other podcast tomorrow covering just that subject.
On the Big Scary Show?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, everybody, if you're interested in that, tune into that one and see what they got to say about it. I know there's a lot of talented guys on that podcast.
And we're going to be talking to several haunt owners that plan on opening during the pandemic. And we're going to get their take on it, what they're going to do to keep people safe, keep their actors safe, keep their patrons safe.
Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely be listening to that one myself because I'm interested in myself.
Well, I try to keep my finger on the pulse of the haunt community. I may not be as active as I used to be, but I still like to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
Because when I get rid of this weight, I might just go back and do some more scaring, you know?
There you go. Can't keep me hooked down.
This is true. Get down to my target weight, and I'll be running around scaring the crap out of everybody, even at the age of 55.
There you go. We already got one night booked with us at Carnage, you already said. So
yeah.
I'm going to hold you to it.
Oh, trust me. Chris was not happy about that.
Yeah. She was happy about that video, though, that you showed her.
Oh, yeah, that part she was happy about.
But, that comes with it. The haunting part comes with it.
She wasn't too thrilled about me saying I was going to act one night. But, you know, that's still a couple months away. So.
Oh, yeah, there's still time.
So, you know, that's what we're looking at haunt-wise this season so far. It's all – everything is so fluid. Things can change from day to day.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is happening today might not happen tomorrow. It's so up in the air that nobody knows what's going on. Some places are still planning to open. Will they open? That remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
But the Scare Factor is the website, and they do have a listing, I believe, of haunts that are open and closed as of current dates. Again, that list is going to change as things progress, especially with these hot spots like Florida and Texas are like the new epicenters where New York City used to be. Why is that? Because everybody that's at New York City went to Florida.
Migrated south.
Yeah. A lot of these new cases are young people that are tired of being cooped up. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But would you rather be cooped up and alive or partying and possibly dead?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a no-brainer, but people have to make their own choices. I'm not here to say or dictate what you can or can't do.
Yeah.
Your choice. If you want to risk yourself, do it.
I go for it, yeah.
I choose not to.
Yep. And nothing wrong with that either way.
So that kind of segues into the next topic on Donnie, you're more on the pulse of this than I am. What's the status of wrestling right now?
Well, for the Ohio region, it's not very good. I know Indiana and Pennsylvania's opened up a little bit around our area, but there's a lot of restrictions they're having to abide by. But for Ohio, we're still shut down. And I don't see us opening up, you know, anytime soon. And if we do, it may not even be till 2021. So, yeah, we're kind of like on hold and waiting. I know Tuesday, the 14th, the Ohio Athletic Commission has their board meeting. So we're all going to be on that phone call and asking questions if we can and trying to figure out what's going on. But now that they have, you know, what, 6 or 7 counties now that's level 3 to where we have to wear a mask and it's not getting any better, I don't see any kind of mass gathering stuff being able to happen anytime soon. So I know they have opened up some sporting stuff like non-contact, like baseball and that type of thing. They have opened those up and are starting to do that kind of stuff again. But anything like contact sports, you know, like boxing, wrestling, MMA, you know, that kind of stuff, football, like there's even a chance that, you know, the Big Ten may not be, you know, running this year, which, you know, would be millions and millions and millions of dollars lost, you know, for these colleges. But, yeah, so like sporting in Midwest and Ohio especially, you know, I can't speak for the other Midwest states, but Ohio especially is not looking good. And, you know, I was thinking maybe we could squeeze in a show and, you know, maybe like November, September, November. But I just, at this point, I'm just thinking ahead to next year's Arnold and hoping that we'll be able to do next year's Arnold is where my mindset is.
Well, fingers crossed for that, definitely. I mean, it was, you know, the last minute canceling of the Arnold this year really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really hoping that by that time we're over this and we can move forward, because like you said, this year is starting to look really not promising for any of the promotions in Ohio.
Mm-mm. Not that I can, from what I'm telling. And like I said, I'm in a group with a bunch of other promotions owners here in Ohio, and we're off. And it is like, from what I understand, it's like the first time in the history of Ohio wrestling or in a long time that actual, you know, a bunch of wrestling promoter owners have gotten together to exchange ideas and to talk civil and, you know, try to work together to get this problem solved and get back to action. And you know, like I said, we're at the mercy of the governor and the state and the health department. And, you know, so we're kind of, but yeah, it's good that we're all together communicating, trying to, you know, we're coming up with ideas on what we could do to help. Like if they do reopen it, you know, guidelines we could put on ourselves to be safe and protect the fans as well as the wrestlers and refs and, you know, other workers and all that. So, yeah, like I said, it's just, well, Tuesday, well, I don't have anything positive to that I think is going to come out of Tuesday. I think it's going to be a, you know, still like, hey, we're going to wait. You know, the governor and, you know, the CDC and all that have not released contact sports, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not expecting good news, but I'll be on the call nonetheless. And if I get a chance to voice an opinion, I will, you know.
Oh, I know you will. And it's really disheartening for a lot of people. I mean, not just the wrestlers, like you said, but the referees, ring announcers, nudge.
With brand new red shoes they haven't got to use yet.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to wear those shoes, damn it.
Yep.
But, you know, even my daughter, you know, she's been training. And mm-hmm. I mean, the only good thing that's coming out about it, there's no contact training going on, a lot of cardio.
Yeah.
And she's still learning, which, you know, on the plus side, by the time things open up again, she should be ready to rock and roll, you know. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of wrestlers that she works with, they're frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is extra income for their families.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, has been ripped away. So how are wrestlers, this really applies to wrestlers and haunters.
Yeah.
I mean, how are they going to generate income during the global pandemic? I mean.
Yeah, to be honest, that's actually has been on my mind here. Yeah, the last few weeks. And, I know we mentioned, I remember a month or so ago, we had talked about, you know, wrestlers generating income and trying to survive during the pandemic and, mm-hmm. and ways to do it. But, you know, like I said, here lately, it's really been on my mind. And, you know, about what can they do. They're not getting the paychecks, and you know, for the haunters, you know, the wrestlers, you know, which, and we both know it, we're both in both industries, you know, indie professional wrestlers and, you know, haunt actors, they don't get paid a lot of money per night. It's just enough to cover the gas, maybe pay a bill, you know, whatever they want to use it for, but it's still income. Right. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that's been on my mind is what can haunt actors do? You know, because like I said, I'm the kind of person that, you know, that I believe find what you love and do that for a living, you know, do what you, you know, love to do, which is what we are working on together, trying to make that happen. And, you know, like the haunt actors, you know, what could they do to generate enough income, whether there's a pandemic or not, you know, to feed their families, take care of their, you know, take care of themselves, you know, and do that full time. And because I bet you ask 95% of haunters, you know, or you ask 100% of haunters if they'd want to do it full time, 95% of them going to say, yeah, you know. So, and same with the wrestlers, you know, you go to wrestlers and ask 100% of them, you know, if they want to be a wrestler full time, 95% of them going to say yes. And, you know, with everything being shut down and there's no way of them being able to make income through, you know, wrestling matches or, you know, being a haunt actor at an open haunted house, you know, how can they make income? How can they take themselves and their characters and their personality and their knowledge of stuff they know and create income from it? And it's something that, you know, I've been talking to you briefly on. It's something I've been looking into, and it's even made me change my way of thinking, because during the pandemic, I realized that I need to, you know, look into other sources of income. You know, because, you know, like I said, we had a nice payday coming up this summer with shows lined up, and that went away because the shows were canceled. And yeah, so we lost income. So yeah, I was learning real estate, and, you know, I don't hate real estate. I don't love it. It's not a passion. So I'm still going to dabble in it and learn. But I just, it made me realize, just, you know, when this has been on my mind, and I thought about it a lot, those 13 hours I was, you know, sitting there waiting on Terry as well, is that, you know, I need to get back to that, the stuff I love, and learn how to generate income from it, which is haunting. You know, I love haunting. Yep. I love wrestling, obviously. I own my own professional wrestling company, so why wouldn't I? And, you know, the podcasting thing, like our Wrestle Whore podcast, I'm really enjoying podcasting, and I didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I have. We kind of did it just to test it to see how it would go, and this is here is actually episode 50. And it's becoming, I'm getting, starting to become passionate about it a little more. I knew we were taking it seriously, but we were kind of treating it like a hobby. But, you know, so I'm looking at it, you know, myself as, you know, I don't want to work a job. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be, you know, go full time into real estate, you know, like I was, you know, learning the business of real estate. You know, I want to still do wrestling and haunting and you know, and how can I make an income to support that, to where, you know, all I do is wrestling and haunting and, you know, stuff I enjoy doing. So yeah, it's taken an effect on me as well. And it's something I'm going to start working on. And I know I've talked to you about it, and you're going to, you know, start looking into it with me on what could be done for, you know, and even haunt owners and promoters. Like I used to be a pro wrestler, so I know how the paydays are and how hard it is to make money, but I'm now a wrestling promoter, and I understand on their side how hard it is to generate income from shows and to be able to pay bills and stuff like that. Same with haunt owners, you know, if the haunt, like I said, a lot of the haunts are shut down this year because they don't got the money to stay open and maintain, you know, with the pandemic. So a lot of the if all haunts are shut down, four shut down, it's going to close a lot of haunt businesses down. And so, yeah, what can they do, you know, haunt owners do to generate income? You know, it's stuff, you know, that I'm starting to, you know, think about a lot. And we need to figure out a way, you know, something to, you know, help everybody, including ourselves, you know, to where a wrestler can, you know, generate a full-time income, not only counting on how much they get paid by the promoter, you know, and hot dog and handshake and, you know, the $20 here or whatever, you know, and same with the haunters, you know, how can haunt actors, you know, generate income from themselves, you know, for themselves, to where, you know, they don't have to work the jobs they hate. And, you know, because the way I see it, if you're working at a job you hate and you're haunting on the side, you're not going to be able to focus on your haunt skills or your haunt character fully. You're not going to be able to give it that commitment. So there's going to be a lot of, wasted energy that you're not going to be able to give that haunt character to make it the best character it could be. Same with the pro wrestler. You know, if you're working 40, 50 hours a week, you're not going to be able to hit the gym, stay in shape. You're not going to be able to run, do some cardio. You're not going to be able to get the time in the ring, you know, because you got to put in those hours at work. You're not going to be able to sit there and think of your character and how to develop it, come up with gimmick ideas and merchandising. I mean, like, all this stuff takes, you know, time and energy that you won't have, you know, if you're working a full-time job too and dealing with those stresses of life. So it's something that needs to be thought about. It has to be a different way of thinking for wrestlers, you know, and other people in the wrestling business, and as well as the haunt industry, you know, because I know there's more than just haunt actors. You know, there's makeup artists, there's zone captains, you know, there's a lot of different jobs in haunting too that people don't realize there are. And I'm starting, like I said, it's been burning at me for a while, and I'm starting to think about it more and more. And this focus has come about to where I'm, and Terry will get on a soapbox and preach for an hour about how I, you know, if I see a butterfly, I lose focus. And that's what I do. I want, you know, I got 100 ideas in my mind and I want to do them all, and I know I can't. So I got to start focusing on certain things, and, it's going to become important to me because it's eating at me. So I can tell it's going to become a major factor in what I start doing here. And, if anybody has ideas, suggestions, you know, of like income generating ideas for haunters or wrestlers or, you know, promoters or haunt owners, you know, email us at thewrestlewhore@gmail.com, or, you know, get on Facebook or Instagram or one of our social media, you know, put a message, you know, what ideas you're using to generate extra income off of this, you know, since we're dealing with this pandemic and you're not able to work, you know, so I'd be definitely interested in hearing it. But like you said, that's a big problem, is haunters and wrestlers not being able to generate income. It's something that needs to be looked into. And, you know, like I said, haunters and wrestlers still have that old school mentality, the old age mentality of, you know, the only way to get paid is by the haunt owner or the booker or the promoter, you know, and that kind of, like, I know in wrestling especially, there's always a little bit of tension sometimes between promoters and wrestlers because of that, you know, right, because of the low pay, the hot dog, a handshake, the promoter screwing the wrestlers over, the wrestler screwing the promoters over. And, you know, that's just old school mentality, and that needs to, you know, that needs to be looked at differently and change, I think, you know. And the way I see it, instead of a wrestler counting on a promoter to pay their expenses and a promoter counting on a wrestler to, you know, bring in enough people to cover the, you know, the cost of running the show, you know, they need to, you know, maybe look at themselves and, you know, I need to make my own money. And, you know, but if you're making, you know, a lot of money full-time doing wrestling, then you get a shit if you make $20 for the match, you know what I mean? It's not as big as a deal, you know. Right. And, you know, a lot of cases you could just tell the promoter, like, I don't even, you know, want your money, I just want to, you know, because you do whatever, you perform and you film it yourself, or you take pictures of yourself, you use that to turn it around some way to make income. You know, the promoter's giving you the platform for you to generate income, and the wrestler's giving a promoter, you know, an event that they can use to generate income, you know, saying, and like I said, it's the same way you could look at it with haunt acting, you know, and haunt owners. I mean, there's got to be a different way of thinking about things. And it's, like I said, it's been eating at me. So I'm going to start looking at it, you know, and see what I can come up with to try to help out. And like I said, you know, there, you know, nobody's getting rich in independent wrestling and haunt, you know, haunt actors, you know, haunt houses. You know, nobody's making, you know, tons of money to where they can do it full time, you know. So, you know, something needs to be done. It's just a matter of what at this point.
There is a very small number of people that do it full time, mm-hmm, in both businesses.
Yep.
And, you know, I would love to be able to do it full time. I mean, right, I would love to be able to podcast for you guys full time. And that's what we're talking about. Uh-huh. Wrestle Horror, we've got some plans on the horizon for Wrestle Horror. We're not going to go into too much detail yet, but we're still working on it. Donnie and I have been communicating a lot, and we're looking to expand what we're doing for wrestling and the haunt and horror side.
Uh-huh.
It's going to take time. It's going to take effort, but eventually it's going to happen. We just got to put our noses to the grindstone and get the ball really rolling in what we're going to do, because you know, here we are. If you think about it, Donnie, we've been doing this almost a year.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's kind of hard to believe, actually.
That, right. Yeah. It went by fast.
I mean, we're at 50 weeks already. I mean, well, I think we only hiccuped on 1 week, maybe two.
Yeah. One or two. Yeah. 1 or 2 weeks we missed. So yeah, it's been about it. We're in about the year range.
Yeah. And you know, it doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't.
I mean, right.
Because we enjoy what we do and getting this to you. And one of these days I'm going to get the videos up. I'm just really lazy.
Right. I understand it. Well, I mean, that's the same like with us. Like, you know, like I said, what we're talking about other people's the same thing with us. You know, we got day jobs, you know, right. both of us work day jobs. So we can't get up in the morning and, you know, focus solely on wrestling and haunting all day long. We got, you know, other crap on our plate. And yeah, that's what we need to look at trying to eliminate. I mean, like even the podcasting, you know, it's like, you know, we get up like, oh, darn, all I got to do all day is wrestling and haunting, you know. You know, hey, I got to go to the haunt and build some sets. Oh, shoot, that sucks, you know. I'm never going to say that. Or, you know, oh, darn, I got to go do this wrestling show. I'm never going to, you know, that sucks. I'm not going to say that. And same with the podcast, you know, like, oh, crap, you know, I get to sit down and talk about wrestling and haunted houses. You know, how sucky is my life? You know what I mean? You know, you're never going to hear that out of my mouth. So that's what, you know, that's what we're trying to strive for. So, yeah, but yeah, it's important that we do it to where, and like I said, so we're going to be practicing what we preach, you know, the things we come up with and the things we start sharing with people and the ideas we have. We're not only going to be talking the talk, we're going to be walking the walk. We're going to be trying it out for ourselves, and we'll be blunt and honest and wear our hearts on our sleeve. If something works, we're going to say, hey guys, this is what we're doing. It's working for us. And if it fails, like, you know, hey, we tried this and it freaking sucked for us, you know, it didn't work. So, you know, you're on your own if you want to try it or not. You know, we'll be honest about everything we're doing, right, and up front. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of changes on the WrestleHorror. I might even change my set because I notice I don't even have a WrestleHorror or a New Ohio Wrestling logo anywhere, except I got the Arnold one right there. I can't point right. Then there's Brutus Buckeye holding our Arnold championship. But
do you have room
on my huge podcast studio?
Yeah. Do you have room to put up a logo?
Yeah, that's something we forgot to mention about July 4th. I brought you down to my infamous podcast studio and you walked through my camo netting curtain and you're like, I did not expect that to be that small. And I'm like literally, and it's like what, probably 4x8 section.
Yeah. it's like smaller than my bathroom, you know, and I've got a 90 something year old house and my bathroom's about this big.
Yeah.
This studio's smaller than my bathroom.
Yeah. He was like, man, I did not expect it to be this small. I thought it was a lot bigger.
I did. Of course, you can see mine is because it's in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the only safe place for me to do it because if I do it downstairs, I'll have my wife and my daughter TV, yep. Too much noise. And sometimes I put a green screen behind me, but I got lazy today.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
But when I get my new Mac, if the unemployment ever comes through for my wife,
right.
If I get my new Mac, I'll be able to do it without a green screen and all kinds of shit going on behind me.
It's going to be nice. Yeah. So, like I said, it's going to be some changes coming. And like I said, we're really sinking in. Like Jim's been doing podcasting for, 8 years now or more?
8 years.
So, I mean, he's definitely got the feel for it. And this is, like I said, this is my first run at it. So, I didn't know if I would 100% like it or not, but I'm finding out that I do. And so we're going to like buckle down and focus more on this and less on other stuff that, you know, I get drifted off on. And my wife always yells at me for her. And she's like, you own a wrestling company, focus on that. You know, cause I'll come up with these lame brain ideas. And that's her response. You own a wrestling company, focus on that. You know, and then when we own the trail, you know, you own a trail, it needs built. Go you work it, you know, focus on that. You know, quit worrying about this other crap. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She's 100% right, though, you know.
You know, it's like for a while there, my wife's like, you're doing another podcast? Because, you know, I record every other week for a big scary show. We do what's called the Roundtable of Terror.
Mm-hmm.
And it's myself and three other hosts. We call ourselves the hosts. And we have a topic that we record for our shows. And it's usually on Sundays. Tomorrow it's going to be, today, this week it's going to be on Monday. It's like, for a while there, she's like, are you doing a recording again? or I'll say, I'm going to go upstairs. I got to do a recording with Donnie. And she's like,
well, she's going to really be mad at us here coming up down the road.
Well, if we start making money, she'll shut up.
Right. That always quiets them down, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But wow, we've covered a lot of topics on this episode. No guests again, but we're working on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, let's say we'll have some guests on here every now and again, but we'll probably, you know, there's going to be a lot more just you and I think as well, yeah. Discussing ideas and stuff that we need to focus on for us to grow, as well as, you know, what we can put out there to help, you know, people in wrestling and the haunting industries grow as well. And so, yeah, but I mean, definitely we're going to have some guests on here, and then we're going to keep it fun. And, you know, we're going to do a little bit of everything, I think. And, it's time to ramp it up and start going to that next level. And like I said, we did a 50 episode test, and yeah, I like what we're doing. I like what we're seeing, what I'm seeing. And it's time for us to, you know, to ramp it up here and do make some changes. And, so yeah, definitely going to be, coming at you guys, and you know, it's going to be more work for us, but in the long run, it'll pay off.
And it'll get to a point to where, you know, if you love what you do, it's not work.
Right. Yep. That's true. That's what we're going for.
Oh, believe me, I would love to be able not to have to work my day job.
Right.
Especially, you know why. I've told you stories.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But anyway, that's it for Wrestle for Horror episode 50. Mm-hmm. Wow. Again, it's been a year. When Donnie asked me to do this, I wasn't too sure about it myself, but I figured we'd give it a shot. And here we are a year later, and we're going strong, and we're going to keep going stronger. So keep listening, keep watching. If I ever get these videos up, you can watch. I'm going to have to dedicate a day where I just sit down and edit videos so I can get them up.
Yeah, now everybody wants to see how my giant podcast studio.
Well, right. I'm going to have to get these videos edited.
All right.
So I'm actually working on a new intro for the video.
Oh, very cool.
So hopefully I can get that done soon, and mm-hmm. I'll start getting these back up. I keep saying that, and I never do it, but I got to force myself to do it. And by gosh, if we're going to move forward, I'm going to make myself do it. So.
Yep. Same here. Time to put the pedal to the metal and get moving on it.
Yep. So thanks for listening, and hopefully thanks for watching soon. I'm Meat Hook Jim, my co-host Donnie Hoover, yep. And I'm pointing at him right. Hey, look at that.
Yeah,
my...
see? I didn't do too well, but yeah, you got it.
Yeah, it's doing good here. We are Wrestle Horror. Keep listening. We'll catch you on the next show.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, the Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.